Exodus 2, and we'll be going from 1 to 15. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile. And she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she'd opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew woman that she may nurse your child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that. And when he saw there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other. And he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian. And he sat down by the well. Amen. And so, to start with this, in terms of Exodus 2, you know, this past Sunday, Peace Halamat's message, and in terms of about God's blessing, one of his points really started me getting me thinking about God's blessing, and the idea that in his blessing really comes the thought of destiny, in terms of, you know, as we come before God, right? God loves on us, he brings healing over us, and then he brings an understanding of our lives over us. I mean, the truth is, all of us as Christians, when we came with a need of either, you know, so there was a problem in our lives or whatnot. But a lot of times we recognize that before we come to God, that many of us were lost without a purpose. And so one of the things that God does, you know, when we come into the house of God, when we come under his leadership, and, you know, as we submit to him, he starts showing us who we are. And as he shows us who we are, he starts teaching us about our gifts, about the things that he's doing in our lives, you know, whether it was through the good or the bad, the way he redeems those situations. And he starts showing us how it is that we fit into the kingdom of God. He shows us a destiny about what it is that God is doing in our lives. But the comment that Pastor Salamat made that I found very interesting was that he was talking about the blessing of fellowship. That the first blessing that God brings us is the blessing of salvation through Jesus, right? Like, we're saved, you know, we accept Christ, and, you know, for those of us who didn't grow up in a Christian family, that actually was not an easy acceptance. I mean, for most of us, I mean, for me, it took a long time, you know, for God to really work and for me to continue to hear the word and to be prayed over and, you know, people showing me a lot of grace. And so the idea of surrendering to Christ actually is a very difficult decision. But the funny thing is, after we surrender to Christ, after we make that initial step of saying, "God, I confess I'm a sinner," which already is difficult in the mind of someone who didn't grow up with a Christian worldview. Now, you know, "God, I surrender, I'm a sinner, you know, you are my Lord." But then after that, you know, we feel God, we know it's him, he's speaking to us, there's that conviction of the Spirit. But then after that, what happens is we stop wanting to be in God's presence. And so when I was thinking about that, you know, even in my life as a minister and coming into as a pastor, this idea of surrender and destiny is such a difficult thing. Why is it so hard for us when we're convicted by the Spirit? We know God is good, and we recognize the work of the Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. So we said, "Yes, Lord." But then when God begins to heal us and to bring us destiny and to show us, you know, what it is that our life is about, we stop surrendering ourselves to him. We stop desiring relationship with him. We stop wanting to continue to be in this blessing of fellowship. And so let me go through a little bit of Exodus. And so even before the story of Exodus, we know, like, if I was to think about the idea of destiny and surrender, the whole story of Moses has destiny written all over it. We all know this story, but even before Moses, God speaks to Joseph in a dream, right? And he leads Joseph from Canaan, and he leads him, you know, his brothers sell him, all these sort of things, and he ends up being the right-hand man of Pharaoh, and he brings his entire family to Egypt, and eventually the entirety of Israel, because God was leading them out of that land, because there was a very large famine coming. And so even in that, God's hand was upon the Israelites. And what happened was, when they got to Egypt, Joseph and his brothers and that whole generation eventually dies. So when they die off, remember, it was the favor of the Lord. Remember, Joseph worked in the prisons, and then he ended up taking care of some of Pharaoh's affairs. And eventually, because he was so good at what he did, Pharaoh raised him up to be the right-hand man. And so what happened was that once he died, another king comes up in Egypt, and he has no idea who Joseph is. He has no idea who his brothers is. All he sees all of a sudden are all these Hebrews, all these people that are not Egyptian, living in the land of Goshen. So right beside them, who kind of live amongst them, who have the freedoms of Egypt. And he's saying, what the heck is going on? How do we let this happen? They are even outnumbering us now. So we better do something, or else one day they're going to rise up against us, and they're going to take over us. And so what happens? He orders that every male is going to be killed. He orders every baby to be thrown in the Nile, killed. And what happens? Only one person or one baby is saved. And let me kind of go through this a little bit to kind of show you the destiny of Moses, right? Even from the beginning, even before I go to that, let me take a step backwards. So just in case. So Moses' destiny, we know that after we go through this story, is eventually he leaves. He spends 40 years in Midian. He comes back and he delivers the Israelites from the hand of Pharaoh, right? And so this is kind of the set. So we know there's a great destiny on Moses. So what's happening? So even from verse 1, now a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. So even from the very, very beginning, right? So we know Levi are the Levites. They're the chosen people of God to do God's work. They are the priests of Israel. And so when you take a look at this, Moses is a son of, if I was to use modern day terminology, Levites were basically the pastors of the day, right? And so Moses was a pastor's kid. Now, if we were to look at today, the modern day, right? Do you remember what Pastor Sam was saying about Nate? Why he hired Nate in the first place, right? Nate is a kid of not just missionary kid, right, of missionaries, but pastors. And not just one pastor, generations of pastors. And so there was already some calling on Nate's life because of the lineage that he has. And so let's not even talk about Nate, who has, you know, maybe two or three or four generations. Levites have hundreds of generations in which the family were pastors. The families were the priests. And so Moses was born of not just one of them, but two of them. And so if you look at it that way, he had a huge destiny on his life. Now, not just because he was born of two Levites. In Israel, remember, as we're going through Leviticus and whatnot, and Numbers, the firstborn of every the Jewish family is to be dedicated to the Lord. And so his life is twofold, a destiny to be a minister of God. And so not only is he a son of a Levite, he's also the firstborn, so he's to be a priest. And so we already see there's a huge destiny of his life. But what happens? Because of the situation, many babies are killed. He's the only one saved, and he ends up into the house of Pharaoh. And so even in his situation of being saved, even the way the way his sister would plan that the wicker basket would go and Pharaoh's daughter would find him. And not only did she find him, she didn't kill him. Remember, there's a decree from her father saying every baby must be killed. And so she should have just took the baby, gave it to her servants, and just killed Moses. That didn't happen. She looked at him and said, I want him as my son. Okay? God's hand already moving in that. We see God doing something in his life. Now, not only that, as he grows up, he has favor in Pharaoh's eyes. He's being grown. Pharaoh also accepts him as a son. He's growing up, learning about the ways of the Egyptian ways. You know, he in many ways, he is on level with Pharaoh's other son, and he's growing. And then what happens one day is he sees a Hebrew being beaten by an Egyptian master. And he decides he's going to do something. Now, if we were to take a look at Moses here, we have to understand that there is a decision he had to make. So if we look back, a lot of scholars, they're not really sure how Moses knew that there's two ways. One, it was divinely given to him that he was Hebrew and that there was a calling on his life. So God spoke to him. Or two, when his mother would nurse him or when he would spend time with his mom, whenever the mom would come to the palace, she would speak to him about, hey, you are a Hebrew. You know, all of your generation are dead. If you look out, there's nobody. And so there's maybe, it could be one of the two. But the important thing we see in this instance is this. Moses sees a situation. Remember, he grows up as an Egyptian. And so he could have made a decision right then and there, just be like, what's the big deal? I'm an Egyptian. This is no matter to me. I can just live the rest of my life as Pharaoh's son, Pharaoh's daughter's son, and I would be none the worse. Something in his heart happens. Something, maybe all the years of you know, whether it's his family, his leaders, and all these things speaking into his life, or maybe he recognizes the divineness of his situation, or maybe God speaks to him, there's a decision he has to make. There's someone that is of my people that is in trouble. Do I help or do I not? And he makes a decision, I'm going to do something. And so he goes and he kills this person. And so what ends up happening? He kills the Egyptian, and he's sought after, and so he has to leave Egypt. And then eventually, he goes through humbling, he comes back, and he delivers the Israelites. When I look at the story of Moses, it really makes me realize the idea of destiny and surrender, and here's why. At the beginning, I was talking about how all of us have a destiny. All of us, as we're coming into God's kingdom, coming into his presence, as we're being healed, God is showing us who we are and the gifts and the things that he's called us to do, right? Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's workmanship, creating Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. We're given all of these verses of purposes and the things that we are to do. And so, like Moses, we had a decision to make. We surrendered to God, saying, God, I accept you as Christ and Lord. I know you are God. Please come into my life. He looks back in his life. He recognizes that all these signs of there's destiny. But even as in his surrender, he chose to do it the way that he decided to do it. God showed him and he recognized the destiny. But he walked his own way. Instead of waiting on God, he killed this guy thinking, I'm going to deliver God the way that I see fit. Don't we do that a lot? I mean, if I was just to be very real with you guys, right? As a Christian, I mean, I didn't grow up Christian. The idea of having a Savior who loves me, all these things are great. It really, you know, wreaked havoc on my heart, and I eventually loved God. But as I began to see, you know, the good things and the bad things, you know, Romans, right, 8:28-29, for we all know, we know in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, right? And for those he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. So even in my life, I realized, you know, I grew up without my dad, I grew up with all the trials, I was angry, all these sort of things. As I came into the house of God, I realized that as I got healing, there was destiny on my life. God was taking the good things and the bad things, and he started molding them into a character of God that eventually he was going to use me to be a pastor. But even now as a pastor, even with the destiny I see before me, even with Pastor Sunhee prophesying, you know, Bob Johnson, all these sort of things, can I fully say I am fully surrendered to God in a destiny that I realize that I have? The truth is, I can't say yes, at least not all the time. Isn't that so true with all of us and not just with me? We say, God, yes, I surrender to you. You are God. I believe you are the Son of God and you can save my spirit. But the moment we start getting healing, the moment we start recognizing that there's a destiny in our lives, it may or may not be the one that we want, right? For some of us, it may be a calling of ministry. For some of us, it may be a calling into a career that we've always wanted. But then as we continue to move in it, as we continue to walk in it, all of a sudden, we forget that it was God that brought this destiny into our lives. And we say, okay, I'm really enjoying what I do now. I recognize there's something I'm going to do. I'm getting really good at it, and so I'm going to walk in it the way that I'm going to walk into it. And even in our surrender to God, into our destiny, we're really not surrendering to God. Right? And I mean, and the best example I can give really is my life, right? I've come into ministry for a year, and it really isn't until lately that I think God's really convicted me of this. I mean, one of the easiest examples I can give is, you know, we know that SP is a church of church plants. You know, PSAM and his 5-year church plant, right? Or PSAM Kim and his vision of 10 churches and whatnot, right? And so P. Hyunsoo just got sent out, right? And so we had this conversation at staff retreat, right? And PSAM says, you guys should expect all of you at one point will be in another city. And so obviously, you know, there are words about the next church plant, right? Shanghai or Japan or Sydney or whatever the case may be. And I'll, obviously as a pastor, right, your name gets dropped, right? Ricky, you're next, right? And so I'll say, it's not me, P-Nate, you're next, right? And then P-Nate will be like, I don't know, man, maybe it's Kenny. And Kenny's like, no, I got to go where Janie goes, you know, all these sort of things. And so I realize in my own struggle, I'm like, God, don't send me. I know you have a destiny for me. I've heard the prophecies. I surrender to you, Lord. I've already come into ministry, but don't send me. Right? I've seen the work that you've put into my life. I've seen the you know, the healings and the words and the people coming to Christ, but that's not the way I want to go. I want to do it here in Hong Kong. You know? I want to do it. You know, maybe, I always say, I've never been to Sydney. I went to Brisbane, and my brother-in-law told me that Brisbane is basically, or Sydney is basically Brisbane, but like Hong Kong, right? And so in my head, I'm like, Sydney's the perfect place. So I'm like, God, send me to Sydney. That's where I'll go. That's where I'll be your prophet. I will be your pastor, all these sort of things. And God told me, he's like, what the heck is going on? I've done all these things in your life. I've shown you all these things. And now you're telling me you know how to live the life and the destiny that I've set before you? To be honest, at first I was like, what are you talking about? I'm fully surrendered, right? And it wasn't until I read first. Anyway, but God fully convicted me that I realized I'm not fully surrendered to him at all. I was exactly like Moses. God, I surrender to you. I recognize my destiny. Your conviction of heart came into me. And I said, yes, I will go. And then when I said, yes, I will go, and God started giving me the things of God, I said, no, now I will do it my way. And I feel like this is the truth and this is a struggle that all Christians have, all of us. If we were to be honest, right? If God really came into our lives and right now said, I don't know, Jackie, right, being a barrister, stop being a barrister right now. I'm going to take you into ministry for 10 years and then I'm going to send you back. Would it be easy for us? Right? Or any of us, right? Replace Jackie's name. Stop what you're doing right now. Go to seminary for 20 years and eventually I'm going to send you back into the workplace. How willing are we to go instantly at the call of God? I'm just being truthful to me. It's been the most difficult decision of my life. And it still remains being one of the most difficult decisions of my life. Now, I'm not saying God's calling all of us into ministry, right? That's not it. But there is a level of surrender that all of us need to have, even as we're walking into the destiny that God is calling for us. Whether it's to be a lawyer, whether it's to be a banker, whether it's to have a conglomerate of companies, whether it's to be a pastor, or whatever the case is, without surrender, we are still walking in our own power, our own volition, and our own lives. Moses, knowing he had a destiny. I mean, obviously for us, there's hindsight knowing that he's going to do all these things. But for him, recognizing that there's a destiny, he still does it his own way. And what happens? He messes up. Is this the only way God could have called Moses out of Egypt to humble him or all these things? No. Basically, he dug his own grave. Right? And this is something that I would say, I wouldn't say this is like God giving me a threat or an ultimatum or anything, but this should serve as a warning for all of us. Do we really need for us to mess up or for God to do something where he completely humbles us before we're willing to say, God, I fully surrender to you? Right? And again, I hope this isn't coming off as like some, you know, some sort of rebuke or like this sort of hard, like there's not it at all. But there is such a clear example that once surrendered, always surrendered. Once we've made a decision to follow Christ, we should never turn back, ever. Knowing the power of God, knowing the goodness of who he is, knowing the healing he's brought into the lives. And I mean, even I would say every step has not always been easy, but in hindsight, it has always been the best step of my life. And I would never, the 2 years of Beijing, probably hardest years of my life, I would go through them again 10 times. Even if it meant all that difficulty, the loneliness and suffering just to get here, I would do it because I know God's goodness. And so knowing God's goodness in our lives today, we should say, God, I want your presence, that blessing of fellowship. And in the sense, what it truly is the willingness to surrender and say, God, I'll go. I'll do it the way you want to do it. I won't take things into my own hands. I won't try to get the job for me. You know, God, you show me this vision that one day I'll be on top of, I don't know, HSBC. I'm not going to try to work my way there myself. Instead, I will humble myself and trust in you. And I think the best way I can really sum this up is really in Psalm 20, verse 7, when I was saying, some trust in horses and some in men, or chariots, but, some will boast in horses, some will boast in chariots, but we will boast in the name of the Lord. Right? Another place that it says is Psalm 118, right? Some will trust in men and some will trust in princes. Right, or the NASB version was, some will take refuge in men, some will take refuge in princes, but it is better to take refuge in the Lord. And so who is it that we trust? Do we trust our destiny in us to get us there? If we were to be really honest with ourselves and God, are we fully submitted to the destiny of God? And not just to the destiny, but the way God wants us to get there? And the last example I would give is, now as a father is this, and Lauren's still a little bit young, and in some ways she still exemplifies this, but it's like me, or, you know, I won't even use me, it's like telling a kid, I mean as a parent, or me telling Lauren one day, Lauren, I want you to go to bed. And she goes, okay. And bed's that way, right? I want some water. You know, I want to go pee-pee. I see a lot of people's kids do this, right? They say yes, but really they're not that willing. They're not really all that submitted in their hearts, right? Eventually they'll get there. They'll be like, I'm lying down now. Are you happy? You know? But their hearts really are not fully submitted at all. There's no real joy in following the direction of their parents, right? And I mean, the parents, in their wisdom, probably know that they're, you know, going for water and toilet because it's an excuse, right? Not because they really need it. And for some time, they'll tolerate it because it won't really affect them, right? If it doesn't affect their sleep or growth or stuff. But if it really affects them, if they stay up for hours, man, that parent's going to put their foot down, man. or maybe not if you're Matthew Pine. You're not going to be able to wake up tomorrow, right? Whatever the case is. But it's going to affect them. It's going to be negative and detrimental for them. And so as Christians, we never want to get to that point. We always want to follow God because that is always the best path. To be fully surrendered to God is not just when we say, yes, Lord, save my life. It's daily. Lord, how can I surrender to you today? What is your path for me to walk today? How can I love you today? And so I'm going to call, ask the Andrew to come up. So let's close our eyes. And let the Holy Spirit speak to us. Do you recognize your destiny? Do you recognize that God has prepared your life for something amazing? And let me tell you, I believe it. Every one of us here, everyone who's listening, God has prepared something for you. There is a destiny on your life and a kingdom purpose for your life. There is. Every one of us. And that's a promise of God. And maybe you're already walking in that promise. Maybe you are already, or, you know, maybe either maybe in your first steps, or you're already in the middle, or maybe you're well on your way to what it is that God is called for you to do. But are we fully submitted to God in everything? Are we fully submitted, willing to go anywhere? Willing to do anything, even if it means to take us away from our destiny for a little while? Have we really put God in the place of our leader? So let's pray as Andrew leads us. Let's really seek God and ask Him to reveal our hearts and to praise Him.
Giving you my heart, all that is within, I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King. I'm giving up my dreams, laying down my rights, I'm giving up my pride for the promises. To you. surrender all to you.
The Lord is for me, I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I will look with satisfaction on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Let's really pray. Let's really take a refuge in the Lord this morning. And to say, God, I trust you in all that I do. More than myself, more than my bosses, more than anyone. Let's lift them up. Let's go to our community prayer. Let's lift up those that are suffering from cancer and cancer-related illnesses. Let's really pray for God's healing. Let's really claim His healing word over him. Sozo, let's really pray. Pray for those in our community in need of salvation and healing as well. Let's really pray for God's Spirit to bring conviction in their hearts. Let's really pray that God will just come and bring healing as well over their bodies. Let's pray for covering over them and their families. Pray for those suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's really pray also for God's healing. Pray for His covering. Pray for a financial blessing as well, as many of these infirmities do cost quite a bit to bring a medicine to. So let's really pray for God to just take away pain, cover the families, and healing. For those in a community who is looking for work, let's really pray for God's covering over them as well. Let's pray that God will just protect them, bring favor over them, and continue to speak to them. Thank you. turn to our mission focus. Let's really pray for Hong Kong. Let's really pray for the government. Let's really pray for the wealth gap here. Let's really pray that God will just bring really just a government that will do something. Let's really pray for the revival of Hong Kong. Let's really pray for the churches in Hong Kong. Pray for Sports Services International, Shanti, Masters Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. Let's pray that God does an amazing work through these places and through these ministries to bring His light to Hong Kong. Can please lift us up, pray for us, pray that God will continue to speak to us, pray that we will continue to remain faithful and to surrender ourselves to Him. Let's also lift up P-Sam as well, as him and his family are in the U.S. They actually recently came into some accidents, so let's really just pray for them, pray that there will be spiritual protection over them, that nothing else will happen. And let's also pray for P-Nate and Monica as well, as P-Sam's gone, that he's 2IC. So let's really pray for protection over them and really pray for covering and favor over P-Nate as well. Pray for the worship sound and media team. Let's really lift them up. Let's pray for hearts of worship. Let's really pray for hearts of excellence, and also to have attention and prepping as well. So let's really pray for the God's anointing over them, that even as they lead us in worship or whatever the case may be, that we'll just be so touched and feel God's presence. Let's pray. Pray for our Arts Anonymous as well, our creativity team. Let's really pray that God continues, you know, show them maybe dreams and visions on how to really bring His word and His glory through art in our home, in our house. Let's pray for SP Reed. I think the next one should be coming out in the next quarter. And then let's really pray for our website as well. Pray that they'll give them ideas on how to improve and how to make our website more attractive. Let's pray. Let's lift up Shanti, VBS, which will be happening this week between July 20 and 24th, led by John and Godwin. Let's really pray that God's Spirit is just really going to move in that place, that many kids who don't yet know Jesus will come to know Him, will be able to see His face and know that He is Lord. So let's really pray. Pray for those that are going. Pray for God's countenance and favor to fall on them as well. pray for the Davao mission trip led by Pine. Let's really pray for the students that are there. Let's pray for Pastor Nate as he leads. Let's pray for spiritual covering over them and for safety, for the logistics, and that they'll have a great time of ministry, fruitfulness, but also that they will also see God in their lives. Let's also pray that God will bring them back safely as well. So let's lift them up. Father, we thank you, God, for the gift, Lord, of what an abundant life, Lord, we can have. Father, help us, God, to remain surrendered to you, Lord, in every step and season of our lives. Lord, to remember, God, your faithfulness, Lord, that you've shown us in the past. That we can walk forward, Lord, in confidence and assurance, God, that you truly know what's best. And so, Lord, if there are areas of our life, God, that we may be fearful of, Lord, or may be hard and or having difficulty surrendering, Lord, in your humbleness and gentleness, God, in your grace and mercy, Lord, would you lead us to just surrender, God. Lead us, Lord, gently, God, to you. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, for my friends, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the areas of influence, Lord, of and destinies, God, that they have over the lives. I continue to pray, Lord, for your healing, God. I continue to pray, Lord, for your favor, Lord. I continue to pray, Lord, for your hand to move so strongly, God, over them. That, God, they will be such a blessing, God. They will be so blessed, Lord. They are already blessed, God, but they will be such a blessing. And so, Lord, will you protect them, God? Lord, will you cover their families? Lord, will you bless the works of their hands? May your favor and anointing fall on them, God, that they may live such a full and blessed life with you. So I thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for this house. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you guys.